Ever felt like you're sleepwalking through life? Like there's a constant voice in your head that never shuts up, criticizing, planning, worrying, and reminiscing? You're not alone. Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth has become a cultural phenomenon precisely because it addresses this universal human condition. When Oprah Winfrey selected it for her book club in 2008, it triggered one of the largest spiritual awakenings in modern history, with over 35 million people participating in her online course with Tolle. The book has sold over 5 million copies and been translated into more than 30 languages. What makes this spiritual guide so compelling is that it doesn't require religious belief. It simply invites you to observe your own mind and discover what's already there. As Jim Carrey once said about Tolle's work, it helped me to stop thinking about what happened or what's going to happen and just be here now. The central insight of A New Earth is both simple and revolutionary. Most of us are completely identified with our thoughts, and this identification creates an illusory sense of self, the ego, that causes tremendous suffering. When you say I, you typically refer to a mental construct formed from identification with your thoughts, gender, possessions, social roles, nationality, and personal history. This I embodies what Einstein called an optical illusion of consciousness. Like a person mistaking their reflection for their true self, we mistake our mental narrative for who we really are. Most people remain completely identified with the incessant stream of thinking in their heads, unaware there's a voice that never stops speaking. They're only peripherally aware of their surroundings, absorbed by mental commentary rather than experiencing the present moment directly. Even when traveling to new places, many stay imprisoned in thought forms rather than truly experiencing what's around them. Consider someone visiting the Grand Canyon, but being so preoccupied with taking the perfect photo or worrying about work that they miss the raw majesty of the moment. This mental absorption creates a perpetual veil between us and direct experience. This identification with thought creates a false sense of self that feels perpetually incomplete and constantly seeks fulfillment through external means, possessions, achievements, relationships. The ego lives through comparison, using others' perceptions as mirrors for self-worth. It equates having with being. I have, therefore I am. A person might believe they'll finally feel complete once they get the promotion, buy the house, or find the perfect partner. Yet this satisfaction is shallow and fleeting, concealing a deep sense of not enough that keeps us wanting more, creating an addictive psychological need that can never be satisfied. Like drinking salt water to quench thirst, the ego's solutions only intensify its underlying sense of lack. The breakthrough comes when we recognize that we are not our thoughts. We are the awareness behind them. When you notice the voice in your head, who is doing the noticing? That silent witness is your true nature. As Jean-Paul Sartre realized, the consciousness that says, I am, is not the consciousness that thinks. When you're aware of thinking, that awareness exists in a different dimension of consciousness than the thoughts themselves. This recognition is similar to realizing that the sky remains unchanged despite the constant movement of clouds across it. Just as clouds aren't the sky, thoughts aren't who we fundamentally are. This understanding isn't merely theoretical, it's experiential. When we begin to notice the gap between our thoughts and awareness of them, we discover a profound spaciousness within. This space of pure awareness is always present, like a screen upon which all thoughts, emotions, and experiences appear and disappear. Recognizing this creates the possibility of freedom from the ego's constant demands and suffering. How do we access this deeper dimension of consciousness? Tolle offers several practical pathways that can be integrated into daily life. One powerful method is simply becoming aware of your breathing, not changing or manipulating it, but observing its natural flow. One conscious breath is enough to create space where before there was only uninterrupted thought. Since breath has no form, like spirit itself, breath awareness forces you into the present moment, the key to all inner transformation. You cannot think and be aware of your breathing simultaneously. This simple practice can be done anywhere, while waiting in line, sitting in traffic, or during moments of stress. Another approach is inner body awareness, feeling the subtle flow of life energy within you. Begin by focusing attention on your hands, feeling the tingling sensation of aliveness there. Gradually expand this awareness to your arms, feet, legs, torso, and entire body. By detecting the sense of aliveness pervading your entire body, you naturally shift attention from thinking to being. Most people are so distracted by thoughts they can't feel this inner aliveness, leading them to seek substitutes like drugs, sensory overstimulation, or dramatic relationships. Regular practice of inner body awareness can create an anchor to the present moment throughout your day. Throughout your daily activities, notice the brief gaps of alert attention that naturally occur when you first see or hear something, especially if it's unfamiliar. Before your mind names or interprets what you're perceiving, there exists a moment of pure awareness, inner space. This might happen when you wake up in the morning before thoughts begin, when you see something beautiful in nature, or in the split second before reacting to an unexpected sound. Most people experience extremely short gaps, perhaps only a second or less, but by becoming conscious of these spaces and welcoming them, they naturally lengthen and occur more frequently. Stillness is another word for this space, the formless, timeless dimension within yourself, beyond thought and ego. It may be found in nature, particularly at dawn or dusk, in your room at early morning before the world awakens, or in the silent gaps between sounds. Even in busy environments, you can tune into the underlying stillness beneath the noise. Since stillness has no form, thinking cannot make you aware of it. Being aware of stillness means being still, conscious without thought. This state of alert stillness is both the means and the end of spiritual practice. These practices aren't spiritual luxuries, but essential pathways to freedom from the ego's grip. When you create space in your consciousness through any of these methods, you access a dimension that has been with you all along, but was obscured by constant thinking. This space is the invisible background, enabling experiences of beauty, appreciation, and loving-kindness. What ancient Indian sages called ananda, the bliss of being. Regular contact with this dimension gradually transforms your entire life, bringing clarity, peace, and authentic joy independent of external circumstances. Beyond our identification with thought, Tolle identifies another dimension of the ego he calls the pain body, an energy field of accumulated emotional pain that lives in the very cells of our bodies. It contains childhood pain plus painful emotions added throughout life, much created by the ego itself. The pain body isn't just individual, but also collective, containing humanity's historical suffering through warfare, enslavement, torture, and violence. Some pain bodies are predominantly female or male. Others reflect racial, national, or religious histories of suffering. Countries with histories of collective violence carry heavier pain bodies than others. Like all life forms, the pain body needs to feed to survive. It periodically awakens from dormancy, seeking emotional negativity compatible with its own frequency. When active, it can use the most insignificant event as a trigger, causing deeply negative thinking and emotional reactions far out of proportion to the situation. The pain body then takes control of your thinking, generating more thoughts that feed it in a vicious circle. Pain bodies thrive in intimate relationships and families where they can get most of their emotional food. They deliberately provoke others to trigger reactions, instinctively targeting vulnerable points. Some couples mistake pain body compatibility for love, with perpetrator and victim roles already established when they meet. Pain bodies often remain dormant until after marriage or commitment, then suddenly emerge as shocking personality changes. The key to freedom from the pain body is recognizing its existence and staying present enough to notice when it activates. When you feel a strong negative emotion arising, simply observe it without judgment. Feel it directly rather than through your unhappy thoughts about it. By stopping identification with painful emotion and directly attending to it without resistance, you prevent it from controlling your thinking and creating the unhappy me story. This awareness breaks identification with the pain body, preventing it from renewing itself. While it may not dissolve immediately, once you sever its link with your thinking, it loses energy. The trapped energy then transmutes into presence, which is why many enlightened individuals once had heavy pain bodies. Once basic survival needs are met, questions of meaning and purpose become paramount. Many feel trapped in routines, restricted by demands, consumed by stress or boredom, lost in frantic activity or stagnation. Some long for prosperity's freedom. Others who have it discover it's insufficient for meaning. Tolle distinguishes between inner and outer purpose. Your inner purpose concerns being and is primary. Outer purpose concerns doing and is secondary. Your inner purpose is simply to awaken, a purpose shared with all humanity and essential to the universe's emerging intelligence. Your outer purpose may change over time and varies between individuals. Finding and aligning with your inner purpose forms the foundation for fulfilling your outer purpose and achieving true success. Without this alignment, you might achieve things through effort and determination, but without joy, inevitably ending in suffering. Consciousness flows through you into the world through three modalities of awakened doing: acceptance, enjoyment, and enthusiasm. These represent different vibrational frequencies of consciousness that may change throughout your day or dominate different life stages. You must ensure one of these operates in everything you do, from simple tasks to complex endeavors. Without them, you create suffering for yourself and others. Acceptance means willingly doing what a situation requires in this moment. While you might not enjoy changing a flat tire in pouring rain, you can bring acceptance to it. This creates peace, a subtle energy vibration of consciousness that flows into your action. Enjoyment transforms the peace of surrendered action into aliveness. By making the present moment your focal point, your ability to enjoy what you do increases dramatically. Joy is being's dynamic aspect, the universe's creative power becoming conscious of itself. Enthusiasm arises when you add a goal or vision to the enjoyment of what you do, changing the energy field's vibrational frequency. Unlike stress, which indicates the ego has returned, enthusiasm resonates with the creative power of the universe. With enthusiasm, you don't have to do it all yourself. It brings an enormous empowerment into what you do. The ego constantly plays roles to get its needs met, whether for material gain, power, superiority, or gratification. Most people are completely unaware of their roles. They are those roles. These roles manifest in countless daily interactions: the competent professional, the caring friend, the knowledgeable expert, or the perfect spouse. Some roles simply seek attention, which the ego craves as psychic energy, not realizing the true source of energy lies within. This attention-seeking can take subtle forms like false modesty, calculated helplessness, or exaggerated competence. When people respond, "just great," or "couldn't be better," to "how are you," they're often playing a happiness role while concealing significant pain. This social mask becomes so ingrained that many can't distinguish between their authentic feelings and their performed contentment. Depression, breakdowns, and overreactions commonly occur when unhappiness hides behind smiling facades and brilliant white teeth. The pressure to maintain these facades creates additional suffering, as people exhaust themselves trying to uphold an image that doesn't reflect their reality. Parenting is one of the most universal roles, but the crucial question is whether you can fulfill the function without identifying with it. The necessary parental functions, protection, guidance, setting boundaries, can become exaggerated when parenting becomes an identity. Giving children what they need becomes excessive spoiling. Protection becomes overprotectiveness. Guidance becomes controlling. A parent might monitor every aspect of their child's life, choose their friends, or make decisions that the child should make independently. Most problematically, the role persists long after it's needed, with parents unable to let go of their identity even when children reach adulthood, continuing to interfere in their adult children's lives, relationships, and career choices. Every child longs to be recognized at the level of being, not just form. When parents honor only the human dimension but neglect being, children sense something vital missing, creating pain and resentment. This recognition goes beyond acknowledging achievements or behavior. It's about seeing the essential nature of the child, their inherent worth independent of any accomplishment or failure. When you truly recognize another, you draw the dimension of being more fully into the world through both of you. This is the love that redeems the world. Those who don't project a mind-made image stand out as remarkable and truly make a difference. These rare individuals might be teachers who truly see their students, leaders who serve without ego, or friends who offer genuine presence rather than mere advice. They function from the deeper core of their being, becoming bringers of new consciousness. Their presence, simple, natural, unassuming, transforms whoever they contact, creating authentic connections rather than role-based interactions. When you don't play roles, there's no self-ego in what you do, no secondary agenda of self-protection. You become one with the situation, completely yourself. But don't try to be yourself, as that becomes just another role. Give up defining yourself to yourself or others. You won't die. You'll come to life. This liberation from roles allows for genuine spontaneity, creativity, and deep connection with others. The dysfunction of the egoic human mind, recognized by ancient wisdom teachers, from Buddha to Jesus, and now dramatically magnified through modern technology and social media, poses an unprecedented threat to planetary survival. This dysfunction manifests in various forms, from personal suffering and relationship conflicts to large-scale environmental destruction and warfare. Until recently, consciousness transformation was merely a possibility realized by rare individuals like mystics, sages, and spiritual teachers. Now, faced with global challenges that stem directly from our collective ego-driven consciousness, this transformation has become an evolutionary imperative. Humanity stands at a critical juncture, facing a stark choice: evolve or die. Encouragingly, a growing percentage of people across cultures and traditions are already experiencing the breakdown of old egoic patterns and the emergence of a new consciousness. This shift isn't about adopting a new belief system or religious doctrine, but rather about transcending thought itself, awakening to a dimension of consciousness vastly larger than thinking. This new awareness operates beyond the confines of mental constructs and ego-based identity. The universe's journey provides a cosmic context for this transformation. Having emerged 15 billion years ago, it has been expanding and growing in complexity ever since, from simple atoms to complex life forms to conscious beings. Like all aspects of existence, the universe has both inner and outer purposes. Its outer purpose manifests in the creation of forms and the endless dance of interactions between these forms, from galaxies to ecosystems to human societies. Its inner purpose, more subtle but equally important, is to awaken to its formless essence. The ultimate purpose unites these dimensions, bringing consciousness into the world of form, thereby transforming it and reconciling the manifest world with its unmanifest source. This universal pattern of expansion and contraction reflects across all scales of existence. We see it in the rhythm of your heartbeat, the cycle of your breath, your daily sleep patterns, and the larger arc of your life journey. You appear in this world seemingly from nowhere. Then expansion through physical growth, accumulation of knowledge, multiplication of activities, and acquisition of possessions. During this expansive phase, you actively pursue outer purpose while your ego becomes increasingly defined and solidified. However, eventually the return movement begins. People close to you die. Your physical form shows signs of aging. Your sphere of influence naturally contracts. You gradually lose control as life acts upon you, reducing your world until you too disappear, leaving only an empty space where you once existed. The dissolution of form, whether through aging, illness, disability, or unexpected tragedy, presents a profound opportunity for spiritual awakening, as consciousness naturally disidentifies from form. However, our spiritually unconscious culture typically views this process as something terribly wrong or tragic. We systematically hide death and aging away in institutions, leaving most people emotionally and spiritually unprepared for the inevitable dissolution that awaits all forms. When the outward cycle of expansion isn't completely dominated by ego, the spiritual dimension can emerge powerfully through creation rather than waiting for dissolution. Human intelligence, freed from ego's distorting influence, naturally aligns with universal intelligence. In this alignment, we become conscious participants in creation without becoming psychologically identified with what we create. This represents a new stage in human evolution, conscious creation without egoic attachment. Your most fundamental relationship is with the present moment, whatever form now takes. The ego could be defined as a dysfunctional relationship with the present moment. At your level of consciousness, you can decide whether to make the present moment your friend or enemy. Since the present moment is inseparable from life itself, this choice determines your relationship with life. Once you decide to befriend the present moment, welcoming it regardless of its disguise, your entire reality transforms. Life becomes friendly, people helpful, circumstances cooperative. Though you must make this one decision repeatedly until it becomes natural, it changes everything. The ego cannot align with the present moment, as its very nature compels it to ignore, resist, or devalue the now. It lives on time, past for identity, and future for fulfillment. The ego treats the present moment in three ways: as a means to an end, always trying to get elsewhere, as an obstacle, creating impatience and stress, or as an enemy, complaining and arguing with what is. Time presents us with a profound paradox. On the surface, life seems to consist of thousands of moments happening in succession. Yet deeper examination reveals there is only ever this moment, the now. Your entire life unfolds in this constant present. Even when thinking of past or future, you do so only in the present moment. The illusion of many moments arises from confusing the present moment with its content. What happens in the space of now? This confusion creates not only the illusion of time, but also the illusion of ego. While clock time serves practical purposes, psychological time, the mind's preoccupation with past and future, seems to hold absolute power, aging bodies and changing everything. Yet despite all circumstantial evidence for time's reality, direct experience only ever reveals the now. Non-resistance is the key to the greatest power in the universe. It frees consciousness from imprisonment in form. Resistance makes the world and ego appear more solid and lasting than they are, turning life's play of forms into a serious struggle for survival. When you accept the present moment completely, you discover the perfection that lies beyond what is happening or not happening, beyond all form and untouched by time. Looking at the night sky reveals a profound truth. The universe consists of objects and space. When you truly look beyond naming and labeling celestial bodies, you experience awe, not from the billions of worlds, but from the infinite depth containing them. This space isn't something you can perceive with senses, yet something within you resonates with it. Space isn't a thing to be aware of. When aware of space, you're actually experiencing awareness itself, consciousness's inner space. Through you, the universe becomes aware of itself. When senses designed to perceive form meet formlessness, the consciousness behind perception is no longer obscured. As the Upanishads state, what cannot be seen but enables seeing, what cannot hear but enables hearing, what cannot be thought but enables thinking, that alone is Brahman, not what people worship. God is formless consciousness, your essence. Everything else is form. The universe's twofold reality, things and space, form and formlessness, is also yours. Most people, identified solely with form, perceptions, thoughts, emotions, miss life's vital hidden dimension, trapped in ego. What you perceive is only half of reality. The other half is the formless dimension Jesus called the kingdom of heaven. Just as space enables things to exist and silence enables sound, you wouldn't exist without the formless essence of your being. For humanity to fulfill its destiny and restore sanity to our planet, we must balance object consciousness with space consciousness, the next stage in human evolution. Space consciousness means being aware not just of objects, sensations, thoughts, emotions, but also of being conscious. It's sensing an alert inner stillness in the background while things happen in the foreground. This dimension exists in everyone, but remains largely unnoticed. It represents freedom from ego and dependency on worldly things, providing the spiritual dimension that gives true meaning to our world. Whenever you're upset about something, the real cause isn't the external trigger, but your loss of perspective that only space can provide. When you're present, you don't need to ask questions. You remain still, alert, and open. You merge with the situation rather than reacting against it, bringing space into it through alert listening and looking. Solutions then arise from the situation itself. It's not you who is looking and listening, but alert stillness itself. Right action happens through you, action appropriate to the whole. All creativity emerges from this inner spaciousness.